A 9-year-old boy stands in Elvis Presley's bedroom at Graceland, but he's not looking at the King's gold records or iconic jumpsuits. His eyes are glued to his iPad. Around him, other visitors shuffle through the mansion, their phones raised, experiencing one of America's cultural landmarks through screens rather than their own eyes. This isn't just about bad manners or a generation hooked on technology. It's a symptom of something far more alarming. We're living through the largest theft in human history, and most of us haven't even noticed what's being stolen: our ability to pay attention. Think about the last time you sat down to read a book. How long did it take before your mind wandered to your phone? How many pages could you get through before the urge to check social media became overwhelming? If you're like most people, the answer is troubling. Research shows that office workers can focus on a single task for roughly 3 minutes before interrupting themselves or being interrupted. College students manage just 65 seconds. This isn't a personal failing, it's a designed outcome. Our attention has become the most valuable commodity in the modern economy, and powerful forces are working around the clock to capture and sell it. When we struggle to focus, we blame ourselves, assuming we're weak or undisciplined. But this self-criticism is exactly what the attention economy wants. If we think the problem is personal, we won't examine the systems designed to fragment our focus. Consider obesity. For decades, we treated it as a willpower issue, yet rates kept climbing. We eventually recognized that individual choices happen within engineered environments, food deserts, subsidies favoring processed foods, aggressive marketing. Personal responsibility matters, but it's not the whole story. The same applies to attention. When you resist checking Instagram, you're fighting teams of engineers and psychologists paid to ensure you fail. The playing field is so steeply tilted that staying focused requires constant, exhausting effort. Without sustained attention, we lose flow states, those moments of complete immersion where we feel most alive. Society's biggest challenges, climate change, inequality, democratic backsliding, demand collective attention to complex problems. A distracted population cannot address existential threats. During a 3-month digital detox in Provincetown, time expanded. Conversations deepened. Thoughts completed themselves rather than fragmenting mid-formation. This wasn't just pleasant, it revealed how profoundly modern life's relentless pace damages our cognitive capacity. Our brains evolved for information arriving at walking speed, matching our cognitive architecture for deep processing. Now we're drowning in data that arrives faster than we can process. Every ping fractures our attention into continuous partial attention, never fully present anywhere, perpetually scattered across multiple demands. Even unread notifications create cognitive tension, tethering part of our mind to unchecked updates. This splitting happens dozens of times daily, leaving us mentally exhausted yet unable to point to meaningful accomplishment. We're busy but not productive, connected but not engaged, informed but not knowledgeable. The solution isn't simply resisting, it's creating pre-commitments. Like Odysseus tied to the mast, we need structural supports. Apps blocking distracting websites, phones kept in other rooms during deep work, technology-free zones in our homes. Research analyzing millions of tweets reveals our collective attention span has dramatically shortened. Political scandals that once dominated discourse for months now vanish in days. In Provincetown, away from constant connectivity, something unexpected happened: profound discomfort. The absence of notifications created an emptiness that felt like loss. Even reading novels felt strange. The mind kept searching for the dopamine hit of an update, the validation of a like, the urgency of breaking news. This withdrawal reveals how deeply our attention has been hijacked, but it also points toward the alternative: flow states, those experiences of complete immersion where time disappears and self-consciousness fades. Psychologist Mihaly Csikszentmihalyi discovered these moments require clear goals, immediate feedback, and challenges matching our skill level. Most importantly, flow demands monotasking, focusing on just one thing. Flow isn't merely pleasurable, it's fundamental to human flourishing. People report their highest happiness during flow states. Yet our current environment systematically undermines these conditions through constant notifications and social media comparison. While B.F. Skinner's ideas about external rewards have influenced social media design, Csikszentmihalyi's work reveals we're intrinsically motivated when engaged in meaningful challenges. We don't need external validation when deeply absorbed in purposeful activity, but our technological ecosystem is fundamentally hostile to this way of being. Away from screens and artificial light, sleep patterns transformed naturally. Exhaustion arrived with darkness, mornings brought refreshment. This revealed a fundamental connection between sleep and attention that modern life systematically disrupts. Sleep isn't merely rest, it's active cognitive maintenance. During sleep, brains consolidate memories, process emotions, and clear metabolic waste. Without sufficient sleep, attention fractures, impulse control weakens, and focus collapses. Harvard sleep scientist Charles Chisler documented how sleep deprivation impairs cognitive performance as severely as alcohol intoxication. After 24 hours awake, your cognitive impairment equals someone legally drunk. The causes are interconnected. Artificial light from screens suppresses melatonin and disrupts circadian rhythms, while 24/7 work culture and economic pressures force many into sleep-devouring schedules. Sleep-deprived individuals show marked deficits in attention, working memory, and decision-making. Sleep-deprived children are frequently misdiagnosed with ADHD, as symptoms overlap. Chronic sleep deprivation links to diabetes, cardiovascular disease, and depression. We're fighting our own biology and losing. At Stanford's Persuasive Technology Lab, students learn to program human behavior using B.F. Skinner's behaviorism, conditioning users through intermittent rewards, just as pigeons were trained to peck buttons for food pellets. Technology companies optimize for engagement, time spent, and frequency of return, not user well-being. Infinite scroll eliminates stopping points, push notifications trigger stress responses, and autoplay removes decision points. Behind these features lies vast data collection, feeding algorithms that predict what will capture attention. Scholar Shoshana Zuboff calls this surveillance capitalism, extracting behavioral data to predict and influence future behavior. Users aren't customers, they're products sold to advertisers. The more precisely platforms target ads, the more they charge, creating relentless pressure to gather intimate data and hold attention. This system reshapes our information environment. Algorithms optimize for engagement, not truth, amplifying emotionally triggering content, particularly outrage. Research shows moral and emotional language spreads farther online, especially negative emotions like anger, creating a media ecosystem that systematically promotes division and extremism. The attention crisis demands systemic change, not individual fixes. Philosopher Lauren Berlant calls relying on meditation apps cruel optimism, attachment to solutions that cannot address the problem scale. We must confront surveillance capitalism through subscription models, aligning company incentives with user well-being, public ownership of digital infrastructure, and regulations limiting data collection and manipulation. We should advocate for 4-day work weeks, which experiments show increase productivity while reducing stress, and restore children's freedom for independent play by challenging overprotective norms. These goals may seem utopian, but social movements have achieved similar transformations. The environmental movement banned harmful substances and shifted consumption norms. The labor movement secured weekends and workplace safety once deemed impossible. Building an attention rebellion requires similar persistence, identifying leverage points and creating cultural narratives that make attention protection a shared value. The stakes are profound. Sustained attention isn't just about productivity. It's about solving complex problems, maintaining democratic discourse, and creating meaningful lives. In a world facing climate change, political polarization, and technological disruption, we need our full cognitive capacities. Your attention isn't just being stolen, it's being sold. The first step to reclaiming it is recognizing the theft. The next is refusing to accept it as inevitable.